Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you and welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself, the man who did not get deported yet by Donald Trump. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again.
Thank you for coming in, Sean Black.
Thank you.
And on the line, I have the lovely...
Hello, gentlemen. How are we this evening?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm good.
The question is, will you be good by the end of the show? That's the real question.
Oh. Well, yes, if you hear some winds in our background, like there's a big windstorm on the side of New York City right now. At first, I thought it was Anisha blowing guys again, but that's not the case right now.
Oh, boy.
So,
man,
let's move on. Okay. The number to call in, to vent, to criticize, to comment is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Anisha B. and Sean Black. Normally, every week, I ask you guys, are you ready to piss some people off? But it seems like the last couple of days, the whole world has been pissed off, so you cannot do anything about it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the world has been pissed off for a little longer than that. But I think the last 2 or 3 days, yeah, I think it's been turned up to the 10th degree.
Yes. And before we carry on, I'd like to thank our listeners around the world, in the Philippines and Poland. We got listeners over there that tune in every week to our show. Thank you so much. A big shout out to you guys.
Thank you.
And now let's talk about Sean. You got to say his name completely. Please say it. Say his name, Sean. Say it.
What are you, Beyonce? I got to say his name.
Yeah.
You know you want to.
Oh, good Lord.
Say the title, Sean, please.
Okay. For those that need to hear me say it, I have to say, because it's the truth, the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Are you happy? There you go.
Now,
it's been said.
Now, before I go on, is he your president?
He has to be, because there isn't anyone else. It's either him or Mike Pence, and Mike Pence is the vice president and might be even worse than Trump. So, you know, I look at it like this. If he was voted in by hook or by crook or however he got in, the American people apparently have spoken. He's the president of the United States, and we have to deal with him for another 4 years. So, yeah, he's the president. You know, we went through this with Bush, both Bushes. So the difference is at least both Bushes had some form of government background, some sort of political background. Trump, none of the above. So
okay,
we'll just see where it goes from here. But, you know, as
before,
of the 20th, he's the president.
Well, before we talk about Trump, of course I'd like to ask you guys, starting with Anisha B., last week we talked about ex-President Obama.
Now that's
if he did a good,
say.
Like, if he did a good job, so-and-so. Anisha, of course you see on social media, everybody was like so happy Obama left. Good riddance, goodbye, adios. And it seemed like there was like hatred or people cannot stand Obama, especially older white men. Why do you think white men, in particular, some of them almost, could not stand Obama or could not wait Obama to be out of the office?
I don't think it's hate. I just think it's a different generation gap. I think it's fear. Or just a lack of understanding or lack of correct education.
Feel what? That Obama did, a black man did a good job?
Yeah, as sad as it's to say, yeah, which is sad, but like I said, it's a generation gap, because if you look, even if you would, let's say, for the both of you, ask your grandparents certain questions about certain things, they'd have a completely different opinion than what you would have. It was a different time.
True, because I was talking
people
to Sean
were very
about
different.
This. True. And that's why I say older men, because not like mostly the younger generation, but like people like criticizing Obama, like couldn't understand Obama. And like I told Sean Black, what did Obama did to you personally is one thing, you don't like him, whatever. You don't have to like your leader. But the way and like he did something major wrong.
Yeah.
Compared to Donald Trump, compared to Bill Clinton, the Obama family did not have much of a scandal. Whether you
much?
The parties,
they had none.
It's like, okay, you go to Bill Clinton, the sex assaults, the Monica. You go to the Bushes, the war, the taxes. It's like you're comparing apples to oranges, but at the same time, you hate Obama, which I still don't get that metaphor.
Yeah. I think what it is that, as Anitra touched on, the generation gap leads to a different way of thinking about race and gender issues when it comes to certain policies, certain things that have gone down in the last 8 years. When you're looking at a generational gap where as early as the 60s, it was still perfectly fine to call black people the N-word, or it was still in a lot of issues, Jewish people were being called every name in the book. Asian people were called every name in the book. It was a different time where, especially during World War II, when Japanese people, based on what happened in Pearl Harbor, it was perfectly fine for Americans to use propaganda in cartoons and in advertisements and on television and movies to call Japanese people derogatory names. So as you go through the ages and you start looking at the times, it becomes the next thing to say, the next thing to do. And when it comes to former President Obama and his 8 years in office, especially when it came to his wife and family, there was such a blatant, overt disrespect along racial lines that you didn't necessarily see as much during his first term as you did during his second term. I think the first term it was looked at as it had to work, because then it would validate the American people voting for him. But then the second term, he basically was it was a 4-year lame duck president, knowing that this was his last term. Oh, all bets were off. So I think that generation gap that you just spoke of was able to open their mouths much more so and make their racism much well known.
You know what I found to be really sad these past couple of days, and slightly on the pathetic side, is that generation gap that we're speaking about, we should know better. We're educated. We know better. And then on social media, I'm reading this crap. I'm like, but you should know better.
I think you hit it right there. Should know better, but apparently they don't.
That's what I'm saying. It's just it's very sad that I see people making these comments, and then I'm just saying, but you wouldn't like it if those comments were made about you. You would cry like a fucking girl. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, it's mind-boggling to me.
Oh, well, it's mind-boggling to me, which, of course, Anitra saw on my Facebook page, on my social media, I piss off a lot of people with my statements over the weekend.
No, not your statement. I'm just saying in general, just the stupidity that I've seen. Like,
no, not that.
People are making these ridiculous statements, especially about the marches, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, that's the combined craziness that happens when you are so, one, it's one of two things. One, the underlying racist tones that people were hiding or holding on to that they didn't make public has now been brought up to the surface.
Oh,
but also, number two,
this day and age, it's sad.
It's sad, but this is the way it's been. And then when you add party lines with political aspirations, and you mix that together, it's a volatile cocktail that is going to really poison the way people think. And when enough people get together with that same thought process, it really boggles the mind when you have a free thinking brain and you are much more progressive than that, and you see all of this stuff happening, it does hurt your head.
The best I saw, which I thought, and I'm sure you're going to think this is as comical also, is I saw a couple of comments on social media about how half the white women that marched may have also voted for Trump. Black people voted for Trump too, people.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a race gap.
Yeah, 53% of white women voted for Trump. And
okay,
yes,
okay.
But the statistics showed Latinos, mm-hmm. blacks, gays, they all still voted for Trump.
Exactly.
But,
go ahead.
But hold on. Those states you guys just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
that is my problem, one of my main problems of this marching, demonstration, rioting, whatever you want to call it over the weekend, that we all need, there's some good points and some bad points. As Sean and I discussed earlier, okay, let me be the asshole in this part. People went out there, marched, about Donald Trump, about sexism, racism, all that stuff. How long have we been marching throughout all these years? Has anything been resolved? It gotten better to a certain degree in some cases, but has anything been resolved? I have fought with a lot of people this weekend because I'm entitled to my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and protest. Be my guest. I don't care. Anisha and I will be at the bar drinking while you're out there protesting.
Exactly.
but at the same time, when you're protesting people, march against Donald Trump, which the same people went out protest, some of them did vote for Donald Trump, so that's an oxymoron, but we will get that to a minute. What's the next step after protesting, after marching, having your voice heard, after all these celebrities bashing Donald Trump? What's the next step?
And that's the thing. And this is where I think there may be a little bit of a different tone here. And the reason why I say that is it wasn't necessarily as far as just the marching on Washington in D.C. because that doesn't happen that often. We've had the Million Man March. We've had the Million Woman March. We've had a lot of other protests and marches in Washington for certain causes. The difference with this one is, this wasn't just a march in Washington. There was a march in pretty much every state in the United States.
And around the world.
And when I say around the world, we're talking about over 168 countries. There were 673 marches in general, worldwide. Well over 2.5 million people marched in general. So that's to tell you that the tone of this protest wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just we're going to do it because we want to antagonize Trump. The issue is that women around the world, not just in the United States, are against a bloviating person who says so many different things about women that would pretty much set back male-female relations years and years and years. Then you have all of the other things on top that he said, which I'm not even going to go into because it's been beaten over the head many times. Those kinds of conversations are looked at as how can this person be in office, have the most powerful post in the world, and with all of the things he not only said, but the things that he has done and gotten away with, how can that be the case and he be the president? And the reason is because people voted and some people got a bill of goods that they believed. And as you stated a little bit, Anitra, a lot of people that voted for Trump realized he's not representing what I voted for him for. And there are women that were in this that voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And they realized what happened.
Well, like you guys say all the time, from Nietzsche, she will say this all the time, people are stupid, And Sean would say, this is what you get. And this is only the beginning of God knows how long this thing will happen.
Yeah.
Fine, Sean, you're right. This is a message out there. How can a scumbag like Donald Trump become president? But guess what? Who put them in that seat?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that there's bigger assholes out there, whether it's white man, white woman, black man, black woman, the people that believe in his idea. Yes, he won the popular vote, but still, he won fair and square of being an a-hole. Only in America, right?
Yeah.
But this a-hole, go ahead, Anitra.
No, go ahead, finish your thought, I'm sorry.
But there's a-holes around the world, so Donald Trump is no, he's no different from Putin or other dictators, like in China, and stuff like that. Before you start, Anitra, one thing I would like to say, and I know Milton X, if he's listening right now, he will definitely call in, and I can't believe I'm saying this. Milton X was right about one statement. This is not a black people problem. This is a white people problem. This is what you want. Black people, we've been going through this many years. This is nothing new for us. So now some white people are experiencing it. Now they're upset. Now they want
more. No, actually, this is everyone's problem. Because they reverse Roe versus Wade, no woman has objective over her own body.
But God, it got better for you.
If they reverse the tax right, no man or woman has the right to do certain things. So this is not – that's a statement I completely disagree with, because black people put him in office just as much as white people did.
No. But you
still
get – So
this is our issue.
You still have white people.
Because your taxes pay his salary also, dear.
Of course.
It comes out of your paycheck.
And he gets paid that the rest of his life, because that salary is guaranteed as a president for the rest of your life, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. So that's a statement I have to disagree with, because at the end of the day, we all live here, and we all have to deal with the rules and the regulations that this man tries to set.
Yes, but you lose. Yes, we all lose, but us black people, us African Americans, we lose more than you. We've been losing for centuries now. You still have white privilege. We've been through this many times before.
I think what you and what Milt probably were trying to hit at, based on the way you're explaining it, is that African Americans and minorities in general in the United States have dealt with strife before, or have dealt with a lack of the perceived lack of certain things happening in their favor to help them along, as far as jobs, as far as funding, money, et cetera, et cetera. The white problem that you're alluding to, Hot Rod, is the fact that this is now not just the problem of African Americans and minorities in the quote-unquote the projects or in certain low-lying areas, is that a lot of these things that are out there that are potentially can be changed are not going to just affect African-American women, African-American men, Hispanic men, Hispanic women, children. It's going to affect Caucasian, Jewish, Asian-American. It's going to affect everybody, because on the low-lying front, there are going to be so many different programs, so many different things, taxes, health care, things that would help everybody are going to dramatically change if they get their way, in the sense of the laws that they would like to write in. As far as what Donald Trump has stated, which going in, as I said, he sold the country a bill of goods as far as we're going to drain the swamp. We're going to change the way politics is run. We're going to do so many of these different things. And all of the things that I have seen in the last 2 months as far as who he's hired, who he's trying to get in to office, are more of the same old cronyism that we've seen in politics for decades and decades and decades. And the people that are going to lose out are the ones on the opposite side of the fence that can't afford to keep up with what's going on in Washington.
So, Sean, so besides the stupid rioting and the killing businesses like Starbucks and Bank of America, which make no sense to me, I guess it was upset with the prices of the coffee, what do you think is the best way to oppose Trump now? Since everybody's upset, almost everybody's upset.
Well, one thing you have to do is stop the rioting. That's one of the stupidest things out there. The going into businesses and destroying windows and destroying damaged property, that's stupid. One of the things you need to do, educate yourself on the kinds of things that you can do legally. Organizing within your community, and as we've stated this before, and we've heard this before from other people, things don't get done on a national level until you address them on a community level. And we're talking about within your district, talking to your local alderman, talking to your congressman, calling Washington, having the constituency talk to the people that represent them. Because in the long run, what ends up happening is if your needs as a community are not being met, the people that are in their cushy $300,000, $400,000 jobs in Congress and the Senate, they will lose those jobs. And they will not get those jobs again based on the fact that they're not meeting the needs of the people that they're supposed to be representing. And the more people realize that they actually have power over the ones that are in Washington and implement that and educate themselves on what they can and can't do, the more things can actually change. And that's what has to be addressed, period.
Okay, Anitra, so you heard the woman march, all the female celebrities, speaking out, making some good points. Let's talk about Madonna and her F-bombs. As you see on social media, they say Madonna should be arrested for the statement she made about blowing up the White House. Do you agree with that?
No, absolutely not. She had the right to say that. That's why we have the First Amendment. I mean, we may not agree with what I don't agree with what she said, but she had every right to say it. That's the point of that amendment.
But isn't that
she
a
has every
threat?
Right to voice her opinion.
Yeah, but don't some people think that's a security threat, that she wants to blow up the White House?
If anyone really believes that 60-year-old Madonna is going to go to the White House with all of that security and try to blow the White House up, then I've got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn real cheap. What
exactly.
It is,
and if,
people
and
take
if
everything
choose,
too literal.
Yeah, but even if they choose to believe that, guess what? We have sources. Investigate. Find out exactly what she means. People investigate people for stupid shit all the fucking time.
But the people
figure
that
out what happened.
That video,
figure out why she said what
again.
She said. But she had the right to say it.
True. It doesn't bother me. But with some of the older white men that posted a video that she should be arrested. So I was like,
no, that's their business.
See, the problem is it's just like it's illegal to yell fire in a crowded area because of the panic that can happen. I don't think anybody thinks that an entertainer like Madonna is going to actually travel to the White House and do some harm to the White House. I
she
think what she's doing is expressing frustration with the way the voting process went, who the president is, because she's spoken out on numerous opportunities to bash President Trump and all of the constituents involved and all of his quote-unquote cronies and the people that he's tried to get into office with him in his cabinet. So I think if you give the comment context, it would be stupid to do that. But on her side, she has to know, being a famous celebrity, saying something like that is going to incite the kind of reaction that we're getting. And I think she did that on purpose for effect.
Of course she did. That's obvious. I wasn't surprised that something like that came out of her mouth.
Yeah. I don't think anybody is holding her, to that word.
And it didn't bother me. Why do I care what a 60-something-year-old woman feels? That's her opinion. You should.
Okay. Alrighty then. Apparently Trump got everybody all riled up over here.
I think that's going to happen every week for the next 4 years. So be used to that.
Okay. Now we have the problem with the press secretary, the media, the picture of the how many people attended the inauguration compared to Obama years.
Actually, I was told that picture was false. which was really pathetic.
I don't think the picture was false.
That it's being yeah, apparently it's being challenged. And then I saw other pictures of people on my social media feed. They didn't look like that picture.
It probably got
so I actually do believe it
I
was
think
false.
If it's I think if the picture was fake, people, I mean, I ask people, what time did that picture was taken?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what people need to understand. If that was taken at 8 o'clock in the morning compared to 12 o'clock, you know, it's a big difference.
Well, from what I've
saying.
Seen is that
I don't think that picture was during his speech.
Yeah, they took the picture from what they're comparing the Trump inauguration picture to is Obama's first inauguration into the White House in 2009. And in 2009, I believe there were along the lines of, what was it, over, what was it, a million and a half
yeah,
people?
But then compare it accurately.
Yeah. And for Trump's
that,
inauguration. Yeah. And see, the reason why you can't get accurate numbers is because it's the Parks Department in D.C., they don't give numbers along those lines. But see,
not numbers, but people took photos. When
yes.
he started his speech, look at the photo. When he started, look at, like, they didn't do that. That's what, like, bothered
oh, yeah.
me. I'm like, be accurate. You're
there
accurate.
Were people there in the area when he was inaugurated as far as when he gave his speech. I don't think
mm-hmm.
that's the issue. I think the picture that they're talking about is the entire Washington Mall, that entire area from where the inauguration was all the way up. But there was something telling that they talked about was that Metro Transit in the D.C. area was down a lot. So that is probably a more accurate tone compared to when Obama was first inaugurated and probably past presidents also.
I just been informed that the picture that was taken, it was around 12 o'clock noon.
Yes.
Around the same time as Obama, so the picture is more accurate.
Yes.
If the Metro did break down, whatever, still.
Yeah.
I don't think it would match the same amount of numbers or was bigger
but
than Obama.
But that's my thing. At least be accurate with your information. And they're
yes.
not doing that, which to me, on either spectrum, at the end of the day, this man's our president.
Yes.
So, you know, this is not high school. This is not, oh, you know, who had the biggest crowd around the fist fight. You know what I mean?
But see, here's
the main
problem with this whole discussion is the fact that what it really boils down to is basically a pissing contest between Trump and his ego, and I got a bigger crowd size than this. So we had the biggest inauguration total ever. And the problem is that surfaced through Sean Spicer, who is the Secretary of State for the press secretary for Donald Trump. And as we stated before, if there are quote-unquote no numbers, Spicer went out there and said, well, we can't get accurate numbers. Yet we had the biggest inauguration turnout in the history of inaugurations, which in that respect is a bunch of hyperbole and BS.
Sean, no. Remember, that is alternative facts. They had
exactly.
a lot of people there.
Alternative
okay?
facts, which Kellyanne, oh gosh, Kellyanne Conway. That's a name that you're going to remember as much as you remember Sarah Palin, because I'm almost lumping them both kind of the same kind of name as far as when you remember this person for certain things. You're going to remember her for that.
Well,
that's funny.
K-Dawg, Professor K-Dawg's in the house. K-Dawg, take it away.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing?
Hey.
How you doing?
Please, K-Dawg, tell us your turn of facts of Donald Trump.
Well, it's been a very interesting turn of events in these past couple of days where we heard of rioting that broke out the day of the inauguration. And also the Women's March. But since you guys are speaking about Trump, I say this, man. You know, at the end of the day, yes, he is our president, you know, but he's the president of the United States. I'm not saying He's mine. He's the President of the United States. Now, you guys were just talking about, I'm going to get to other things, but what you guys were just talking about, the size of the crowds, who gives a damn? You understand what I'm, you understand?
That's what
at
I was alluding
the day,
to, really.
Hey, this is an inauguration. I never saw any other president act like a spoiled brat over a crowd at his inauguration. I didn't hear that from Bush.
Well, I just
I didn't hear
you
from Obama.
You have to talk about a crowd because he has to prove a point that he's the best. He's bigger and better than Obama.
That's,
so you talk
that's
that crowd.
The thing. Because you know what it is with Donald Trump? Don't forget, he's a television star. He wants to make himself known. He's a celebrity. That's the thing. And, you know, again, just remember, who put him in there? The American people. They voted for him. And, again, I say this. Remember, almost half of the country did not vote, and it's a well-known fact. They have only the people who didn't vote. My thing is this. You had a chance to use your voice, but you chose to stay silent. So sit down and shut up. Take it. Take it all in. Face it. Donald J. Trump is the 44th president of the United States. Now you'll know better. Now you'll know better than to stay home on election day. Why the hell would you want to stay home when you have to vote? Oh, well, I didn't want to vote. Well, guess what? Since you didn't want to vote, then sit down and shut up. Don't complain. Don't throw tantrums. You want to do something? You get out there and you organize. You get out there and you speak up. That's what you do. To make sure that, hey, we got to get rid of him, then organize. Then start organizing. That's all you got to do. You know, one of the things that I heard Scott Stringer, the city controller, says, he says, don't agonize, organize. That's what we got to do for the next 4 years.
And
it doesn't matter what race you are. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, that, and this is where, when I stated earlier about the march, that has to be the next logical step for the marches to be taken as seriously and to be more effective as far as getting their point across. Because after all of the marching and all of the talking, action has to be done, or this is just another footnote in history.
But Sean.
Yeah, but darling, we need to organize as a whole.
Exactly.
None of this,
that's what
oh,
I'm
it's
saying.
A white person problem, it's a black person problem. No. I'm sorry, but in New York, there is no such thing as a white or black neighborhood anymore. Have you noticed that?
Oh, of course.
Exactly.
Walk through
Brooklyn.
Especially
in Brooklyn.
Walk through
forget
Brooklyn.
About it.
Walk through Bedford-Stuyvesant. Go through Fort Greene. There's no such thing. In East New York, there are white people. There's no such thing. People have to organize as one community. Not this time or not this or that or left or right or A or Z. As one community. That's the only way it's going to work.
Anitra, I agree. But remember, New York is a different state compared to more than half the country.
Of the state.
Half the country.
But you have
state,
to start
like
educating
that.
People and putting that in people's heads instead of segregating. Segregating never solves anything, clear as point. It solves nothing.
Well, you know what? There's been segregation. You have segregation of the race.
Milton X will disagree. Milton X will say, black people need to separate, build their own community, build their own job.
Solves nothing, but that
but
doesn't exist.
But
no one has their
Let
own community anymore.
There's no such thing, because guess what? The thing is, you see, when you talk about the issue of race, here's my take on it. Is there racism? There'll always be racism. Racism will continue to plague the United States forever.
Of course.
But
people
I'm not going to label,
that.
I'm not going to look at every white person and assume all white people are racist. I don't want to deal with them. You got to understand something. Everybody has a prejudice in them. It doesn't matter whether you're white. It doesn't matter whether you're black, red, yellow, brown. It doesn't matter. Everybody has a prejudice. Whether it is a prejudice of skin color, whether it is a prejudice of class, Because let's face it, a rich person will look down on someone who's poor. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes and no. Not everybody, but I understand what you're trying to say about
I'm not,
that. You're talking about more like the corporation, corporate people you're trying to say.
You have corporate people, you have people who made it, and you also have those, even in the black community, who look down on their on their fellow blacks. That's the thing that's going on.
Well, talk about blacks. I remember Trump always liked to make a list of Donald Trump, all the negative stuff that he did. And earlier we were talking about Obama.
Right.
If former President Obama did 10% of what Donald Trump did, how do you think the world would have reacted to him, Sean?
Oh, they would have been nasty towards him.
You mean if he would have done anything, done any of his cabinet appointments and all those things, what would have happened?
Anything. A sexual assault.
He
cursing people out. The way he treated
he
the
would
media.
Have been,
the way he would treat the media like Donald Trump. Anything. But look at it. Donald Trump is your president right now. We all talk all this nonsense about him, but he got elected. Like we said, Obama was like, a.k.a. the perfect family. If Obama did any of this,
this is one of the things that a lot of people probably don't realize when it comes to any minority becoming a pioneer in any specifics. And I'll take this back to Jackie Robinson.
Exactly.
When you are African American or you're Hispanic and you're the first to do something, you have to be almost perfect, twice as perfect as the person that has preceded you or who will succeed you. And the reason is if you're the first and you mess up at any part of that entire journey, it may be a long, long time before the next person that has your chance gets that chance. And the reason why that is the case is seemingly it's disapproval of African Americans or Hispanic people that get a job, or let's say you're the first to do well in an all white sport, or you're the first to do well in government, you're the first African American to do well in business. You have to be pristine, you have to be pure, or as close to it as possible.
Exactly.
With no scandals, with no ego. You have to have a certain kind of class shown for the average Caucasian American to look at you and be comfortable around that particular brand. And that's always been seen as the major issues there. Now, as you stated, if President Obama had any hint of any scandal going into the White House, if it was even looked at as he, like the main thing that anybody talked about was that, well, President Obama smoked weed when he was in college. Big deal. A lot of people did that in college.
Exactly.
That was the only thing that they could really throw at
exactly.
President Obama at the time.
And he came out in the open. And he came out in the open and said it. He didn't hide the fact that he smoked weed.
Exactly.
You see, and this is and I'm glad that you pointed that out. Like you used a sports analogy. You use a sports word, you know, when you talked about Jackie Robinson. You use a sports analogy. Jackie Robinson, although one of the finest baseball players ever, he faced a lot. Now, had he shown anger and started cursing at those who threw things at him from the field, they would have crucified him.
And it would have
forgetting who he was, who also shared that ticket. People were not ready, did not want Hillary Clinton to have that ticket.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like,
we're also forgetting that.
I don't think we're forgetting that either.
Hold on.
This country was never ready to put a woman in that seat. his election, which probably pushed his seat because they would rather have the first black president than the first woman president.
Yeah, and there were Van Jones actually did a show on CNN where he went into certain houses in the Midwest and talked to white women that did not want Hillary in office,
mm-hmm.
and she was qualified.
Show.
She had all of the tools that she would have needed to run the country in a particular
She's
way
a
and be effective, but they
but
said the one thing that was against her, forget about it, it had
She's
nothing to do with Clinton's name, it had nothing to do with a lot of it,
nope.
it had
She's
a lot
a
of it had to do with the ideology
with
that a woman is going to have the biggest, most important job in the world.
She's
and going to
be the leader of the free world, and that's the thing.
So, Nisha, how do you feel about that, woman against woman, once again? In the workplace, and even a woman won't vote for a woman for the seat.
I just know what it's like to have to make sure your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted. I can guarantee, now I know you gentlemen work hard and bust your ass, but I guarantee that I probably had to put my foot a little more forward to get to where I am today in the position I hold because I'm a female.
And that's just to legitimize your own existence, which is
exactly you know,
the saddest part of the way society is right now.
Let me just break it down now. You see, where that is that, okay, there's also a different types of women. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to, you know, sound like, you know, militant and all, but allow me to break down the races of these women. And each of these women have to fight for something. You have, yes, women do make a lower wage than men. Let's face it. And I know a lot of women were fighting about that. And Saturday, what I saw was to see women fighting for different issues. You know, this was more than just a political march. This was a march on social issues. You saw,
and they should. But what's the next step after that?
The next step is that the women need to organize, and that is the thing. You saw different organizations of women there. You saw a lot of feminists. You saw a lot of the celebrities, but also let's not mention, there were also many women activists there. Women such as Gloria Steinem, women like Angela Davis. You see that?
Of course they were there.
So you see the different races of women, and each of them came with a cause. And, you know, they weren't marching as just black women, white women, Asian women, Middle Eastern women, Latino women. No, they were all marching as sisters.
Women come together better than men do. It's a fact.
Yeah.
We don't have the egos you have. Sorry, guys.
They weren't coming, and you know, I gotta give. And you know what? I don't care what anybody says. And like I said it on social media, you women take a damn bow for the job that you did on Saturday. I applaud you, women, for it. And y'all got my 100% support.
Oh, geez. Thank you for kissing ass right now.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't kissing ass, but, you know, I'm just being real. Because, you know what? What I saw these women do, these women weren't fearless. They didn't have no ego or boast about them. They were, like, coming out there saying, yeah, this is who they are.
Well,
One
thing I got to give the protest credit for, it was peaceful. It was nicely organized. Mm-hmm. But now, I have to go to the main event now. Because, you know, he needs his 5 minutes to piss the world off with this version of the absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Milton X. Milton,
good
before
Lord
you start,
I'll
give you
a Milton.
Milton,
hey,
how
you doing? Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Milton, say what you need to say. Entertain us.
Well, look for a thing now. You have two situations here. One, the protest during the Trump inauguration.
Do you have a TV or radio in the background?
And the mom. Amen.
Somebody's TV is on.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's TV is on in the background.
Yeah, of course, as soon as I jump on, right? You know?
Kato, that's you or Milton?
No, it's not me.
Oh. Okay.
Definitely not me.
Okay.
It's supposed to have been Rodney.
Right.
Yeah, but you have two situations here. I guess I'll get into the Women's March. I mean, it's ironic to me that all these women came out on, let's say, the East Coast and the West Coast, I guess. But, and I guess if you keep things from all over the country to march, you know, in D.C. and all over the country. But it seems like, okay, they came out. But what for this all for this woman unity going on during the election time? Because if you look at the raw numbers, over 53% of the white women voted for Trump. You know, some say 53%, some say 60%, depending on what type of polls you look at. So there was definitely a large amount of white women that voted for Trump after the whole comments and came up about grabbing a pussy and this, that, the third, and the things that you said before about women and stuff like that. So I think there was a lot of fear amongst women, especially those that came out, that with this guy as the so-called leader of the free world, that a lot of women's rights are going to get taken away from them. Now, like I say about all protests, unless you hitting the people that you want to hit in the pocket, is meaningless. Whether it's black people out here protesting or whether it's women out here protesting, it doesn't mean anything unless you're hitting the money. So unless you're going to do some things economically with this, then all you'll be doing is this big old exercise just for no big deal.
Excuse me, Milton, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
You just brought up a very good point. Believe it or not, people, this is what I told people earlier. The government love protests. They love marches because, you know why? They make money. Well, small businesses make money, and the transportation make money. So you want protests? Go ahead, protest. They go make money from the protests because people out there spending money. Why? You have to go out there, right? You have to travel. You have to eat. You have to buy picket signs and everything. So how does that work? That's making money. So when the more people protest, the more money everybody makes. So go ahead, Milton.
And also from a media standpoint, to give them something to cover, give them something to talk about. But in the end of the day, what does it really do? Unity, the solidarity. Y'all didn't have that during the election.
Well, see,
and it really should have mattered.
And that was the reason why I stated earlier that the only way that the march got the attention that it was looking for as far as what the women were marching for, but it has to be taken to another step afterwards for it to be legitimized. Because when you do these kinds of protests, there has to be some sort of follow-through, or else it's just like I said earlier, it's going to be just another footnote.
Right. You know,
like Anita said earlier, we all need to get together, right? But in the end, let's all be honest, we will never, ever get together. We all know the solution to the problem, but we don't act on the problem. Why? Because in the end, we all look out for ourselves.
The question is not
this is what I wanted to say.
The solution is about money and power.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, this is what I say. And true, I could agree about the money and the power. This is why people got to organize. When you organize, you put ideas together, meet up, get some signatures. In other words, shut it all down. And how you do that with a strong organization? You get yourself a leader. You go to a local politician, you say this, hey, listen, look, this is what we're going to have to do, and we demand these. And you know what? Hey, if we don't get it, then fine. We're closing the whole damn stores on all of you. Don't spend not one dime in a store. But a lot of people agree with this.
You have to have an alternative store to go to. You know what I'm saying?
No,
it's like, okay. You can't just say not just not go to Macy's.
No,
you have some other store to counteract that.
True. No, but this is where I'm getting to. When I say shut the stores down, you got to be able to organize to put it all together to say, hey, we're not going to shop at this store no more. We'll go to this mom and pop store to help them get money. If we find out they're funding what it is that we're against, we're not shopping there. And we advise other people not to shop there. When you do an economic boycott, and let's just say if people put their minds to it and do it, their voices will be heard. It will make noise.
Yeah, but unfortunately, people are all
people are not
going to
do
right.
it because
no,
you know what
never
people
do. They'd,
you know
they'd rather
bad?
Vent
Everybody
and complain and cry and just look like
I've
idiots
been saying all along,
instead of actually getting off their ass and doing something about
and
it.
And doing something. This is the thing. Whenever there's an incident that happens, whether it is something to do with police brutality, whether it's to do with a crime, people, and now these days, and I'm sure a lot of you will agree, we make noise for one day. One day we make noise, and the next day it's business as usual. What the hell was that all about?
Well, that's because the people really don't have any power. Because the people are dependent on other
things. It's not that people don't
things.
Have power. People
don't,
do have
because,
the power to do things. They just don't want to do it because you know why?
But they don't have the power because they're really dependent on the power for food, clothing, and shelter. Unless you pull your own
thing.
Stuff and get your own clothes together and do your own things
people,
yourself, you don't really have
but
power.
But again, people become slaves to the almighty dollar. People become slaves
comfort.
To, hey, I want to look good. I want to look good.
Are you comfortable?
Hey,
no, hold on. I need you to say it right there. We are comfortable.
They're comfortable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
They'd rather some people would rather bitch and cry and blame someone else for their own failures than get their ass up and go do something.
And also, you also have to think about this, is that the people that really aren't as affected, even if they have friends or family members that are going through a particular struggle, there's less of the onus to want to actually jump in and help. Because,
exactly.
as you stated, a lot of people are in a certain comfortable way. Some people don't feel that they need to get up and motivate themselves to help out because it's not affecting them per se. But it
because
affects
you know what?
The people in their community. They're not jumping in it as often. There are people that will and have, but it's nowhere near where it should be to actually make an effect.
Because people are sitting there like this. Oh well, it doesn't affect me. I have no worries. Why do I have to jump in for? What do I have to care for? Well, let me tell you something. When something affects your community, you better damn well give a damn. Because you know what? What happens to that person, it could easily happen to you.
Well,
yeah, but
well,
unfortunately, that's not the mindset anymore.
Well, excuse me. I just got a text from Samantha Lopez. She'd like to know since we talk about Obama and everybody and race, the word thug has been used a lot to us black when we do something wrong. Milton X, is thug the new N-word now?
Well, in a lot of ways it is because they can't see the quote-unquote N-word. You know, that's changing now too. But
what
we
want
to talk about suck.
Thug.
We want to talk about
the word
thugs. Thugs, right?
When I saw
the not the women's protest per se, but you know the Trump inauguration protest, right? You know, as soon as Trump got inaugurated, mm-hmm. I saw a lot of white thugs out there, tearing down throwing stuff at a Starbucks, blowing up a limousine, causing all types of chaos, destroying property and things of that nature. I saw a lot of that on the internet. What I didn't see was when Ferguson and the Baltimore, when they brought in the tanks and the, National Guard and things like that, to quell that kind of uprising. I did notice that. I know you saw the same thing, Ronnie, where you saw all these, white guys
yeah,
in, black outfits and black masks and everything, tearing up shit, destroying their own communities, so to speak. But nothing really was done about that.
Because they are not thugs, that's why. They're not thugs.
Yeah, and you know what? This is the
thing
with the media.
Even though they were doing all types of thuggish behavior.
But they don't get called thugs. Because you know what? You know what's sad about it? This is the media. Let me interrupt for a second. This is why I have to voice something about this. When you look at, like, true, Milton, what you said about the whole thing with the inauguration, when you saw people breaking things, you didn't see anybody acting up. You just saw the people using, you saw the police using tear gas, spraying in at people. But they weren't doing, like, you know, they weren't blowing it. They were just, they weren't shooting it at them. Exactly.
There was no tanks being brought in.
No, there
wasn't
no tanks. And
there was no
the
blood
thing.
Drawn,
this is,
and that's
this
what you're
is
saying.
What goes
no riot gear, et cetera, et
this
cetera.
Is what goes on constantly in the media. You hear it every day. Like, whenever something does happen in a black neighborhood, you'll hear all these thugs and stuff. But yet, when Dylann Roof walks into a church and murders 9 people, he doesn't get called a thug.
No.
That's the thing.
Even more so. He's afforded the fact that they can give him to the local Burger King to try to quell him down as opposed to him being shot on sight if this was anyone else.
Well,
that's how white
supremacy
works.
Oh, speaking about that, since we've got like 3 minutes left, I want to throw this statement in. Remember the Orlando shooter, the guy that got caught by the cops? You know how they, of course, you know, they beat the crap out of him. It was a given. When he said, "They beat me up. The cops beat me up." Look how they treated him for being a cop killer compared to Dylann Roof, the guy that walked into the church and killed 9 people.
Murdered, like I said
before. That's because Dylann Roof carried out a mission. You understand? See, the Ku Klux Klan and the police are hand in hand. Don't get that twisted.
It's been going on for centuries, Mill. That's something that's been there for centuries.
All Dylann Roof did was carry out his orders.
He's looking at himself as a martyr anyway, because he resigned to the fact that he's going to probably die anyway. He wants the death penalty.
In his circles, he is a martyr.
Hmm.
That's why they treated him the way they did.
And compared to this crazy guy.
Understand. You got to understand, this is a chess game, not checkers here. This is all this is about. That's why I'm not mad that Trump is president now, because now it's all coming out. It used to be behind closed door, behind the shade, the hood, if you will. Now it's out there. And why they don't...
No, but you forgot to add something else. You forgot to add something else.
What?
It's now all new and improved. You know, even though it's old, but guess what? It's all new and improved now. It's going to be more covert than anything. Trust me.
They're blowing their cover. And you know what?
Listen, it's going to be an interesting 4 years. That's all I got to say.
Oh, it's going to be entertaining as hell.
And I guess for the next 4 years, if the show keep going, we will be talking about Donald Trump and what he's doing.
To be honest, though, we really don't need to.
No.
We just need to focus on what we need to do to make ourselves better and let America fall apart by the seams.
If you see a cloud over your head for 4 years, at some point you kind of ignore the cloud and you worry about how to deal with the weather around it.
Sean, let's be honest about it. Ever since black people were drugged to America, there's been a cloud over our head anyway.
Okay, well,
don't get that twisted.
I have to cut the show down. Look at that, K-Dog, things will... Thank you so much for calling. Till next week.
Hey, you're
Thank
welcome,
you.
Guys.
All right.
All right. I need to be Sean Black. There's no final thought because time is running out. In the end, let us pray. Let us do our thing. And good luck to us in the next 4 years. Not good luck to Donald Trump. Good luck to us. I don't care about Donald Trump. I'm like, I will still crack up jokes and follow him on Twitter and whatever, but in the end, I just care about us and what we need to do to take care of ourselves, because in the end, we have to do for us. Like Anisha said, we have to bust our asses and keep moving on. So, Brother B will say this, smoke, have sex, drink, and be merry. That's it.
Exactly.
On this note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, I am the Hot Rod.
Sean Black and
Anisha B.
So Anisha was
Don't
mad
start.
At him in
Don't okay. start.
Okay.
I think what he's
okay.
trying to say was the pleasure was all yours.
I guess it's moving. I guess the woman movement is moving along now. Okay, excuse me. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
Bye.